as gloomy news becomes more and more apparent. Multiple tiers, lockdown over Christmas, but Midnight FPL has you sorted with a bumper Christmas episode. We talk over a massive last game week. We go through our team of the season so far. We discuss who we'd most like to have for Christmas from the Premier League, and so much more, all on Midnight FPL. No, I don't want to hear it. Okay.
I'd buy into that so much.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
No, I don't want it to be you, so I'm going to shout. It's horrible.
Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Hey!
Oh, so melodic.
That's horrible. Okay, so I'm joined by Joel and Sam, as always. Joel, do you want to say hello to everyone?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Concise. You don't take any risks.
Just short and sweet this time. I've had enough. I've had enough of those.
Sam, what have you got in the locker?
Well, because it's Christmas this time, I can say, like, oh, happy Christmas. I hope you enjoy Christmas, man.
That's a level of pragmatism Joel didn't have. But okay, so, yeah, what was the last game week? It feels like quite a while ago, but it actually wasn't because it ended on Monday. But it's game week 14. How did everyone do? We'll start with Jay Stanley.
All right, actually. I mean, captained Bruno and had Salah. They got me 50 points just between the two of them, and I got 76 overall. So if it wasn't for them, I would have had a pretty average week. Another, like mentioned to Grealish, you got 10, but apart from that, nothing special. But lots of points between three players, so that's all I needed, really. Lots of green arrows.
Making transfers last week, or?
Oh, yeah. I took out James Justin for Eric Dier. Justin got 8. And I got 0, so that was bad. And that's also screwed me up for the weeks coming up as well, but I can't be bothered. I'm moving on, so it's fine. We move on and we forget about it.
Doesn't sound like you've forgotten about it. Sam, how was your week?
I got 77 points, so I pipped Joel by 1 point, which is pretty satisfying. I captained Fernandez and I had Salah, same as Joel. I doubled up on Aston Villa defenders, and that's the third time in three game weeks I've got clean sheets for both of them, so not bad there. And then the only other person who didn't blank was Calvert-Lewin. He only got 4, so I am actually a bit disappointed because I got 17 points above the average. But in our league, I think we got a pretty high standard, and relative to other people in our league, I didn't do so well, and Louis made ground on me, which is a bit annoying. So yeah, not overly happy, really.
So Sam's being awfully modest because his overall rank is now just under 18k, which is pretty good going, even if he did have a poor week by his own standard. I got 87 and moved to 33k, which is, again, decent. Similar story to the other boys, really. Fernandez, captain, 34. Salah coming off big off the bench. Grealish, 10. Little shock, Danny Welbeck. He didn't even start. I was all upset at the start of the game. I kept him in despite Sam. I think did you shout at me not to, Welbeck will not score, was what you shouted at me.
I actually got a message from one of my friends who watches this, Joe Bambridge, and he said, great call on Welbeck.
Nice use of irony.
Such a great call.
luckily I ignored you. It was lucky I ignored you. Actually, no, it wasn't as lucky because I probably should have done something, because my defence, despite getting 87 points, was an absolute mess. Chilwell, obviously coming off after 5 minutes. Lamperty, always injured, permanently injured, and just in general ball ache. Reece James, they waited until after the game to say that he was injured, so that was irritating. And then Keith Howard won, so that's 5 defenders in my squad and 2 points between them, which is pretty shite. But yeah,
all in all. Wait, hold up. I got 5 defenders. I got 1 point, so...
You can always cheer people up with how shit you are.
Also, if you guys both said your overall rank, so I just thought it was worth reading out mine as well, just in case people are wondering.
We've got long enough for that.
Yeah, no, I am 1,141,643rd.
That's long.
But going up, I used to be like just under 2 million, so...
Can I make a really interesting observation really quickly about overall ranks? Like, Louis, you're on like 34K?
Yeah.
And I'm on 17K and you're 11 points behind me. that's the difference between having Grealish this week and not. If he got 10 points again this week and you have him and I don't, you can go up 17,000 and be in the top 20K.
But this is the thing, is even like if Joel had 87 points, like where we are in the league, it's actually a lot harder to make big gains. But when you're, if your rank is like a million, you can literally make that into, you can make it into the top 200,000 in a week if you get it right. If you,
yeah, you can.
It's so volatile. But yeah, especially at this early stage of the season. But so Joel, keep at it. You've got a lot of green arrows in a row.
We'll keep plugging away, man.
I'm hoping.
Really proud of you. So Boxing Day, game week 15. My team's a mess. How are you boys looking?
My team, I don't think it's as much of a mess as yours. And something I've wanted to do for a while is, well, I say a while, I mean like maybe like two or three game weeks, is bringing Patrick Bamford. He's got Burnley at home next week. They've been playing well, I know, but it's still quite a nice fixture. Then West Brom away the week after, and then Tottenham, who haven't been looking too impressive lately. And Che Adams just seems to be going more and more downhill, and I'm just desperate to bring him out. But the problem is I've got Reece James. And I've doubled up on Aston Villa's defenders and goalkeeper, and I just think their fixtures are going to go a bit sour in the next few weeks. So I'm a bit worried about that. Also, I've got a Brighton defender, and they're really not great at the moment. But that's not really as urgent as bringing in a striker who's really playing quite well. So for the next few weeks, I think maybe, especially this week, Patrick Bamford to come in, I think.
Surely you got to take Reece James out, though.
No, because like you were saying earlier about Frank Lampard's press conference, now he was really vague about it. It feels like he'll miss Arsenal, but he might not necessarily miss that many games after that.
Yeah,
and
the thing is,
he's sort of worth keeping. I kept Martinez as well.
Like, you're going to want Reece James. So Chelsea have a peachy double, or peachy-ish, Fulham away and Leicester away, game week 19. You're just going to want someone like Reece James or Chilwell back for them. So if you take him out, you're just going to end up wanting... So, even if he gets zero for a week, like as this week showed, we all got, our defence has got nothing, but we still had a really good week. So the defenders can easily get zero even if they do play. So I don't think it's as much of a concern. Yeah.
What about Chilwell though? Because I quite want to take him out.
Yeah. I don't know. Chilwell's a weird one. He eats up a lot more money than Reece James. But equally, again, you might just want end up wanting him back. But
I think like the Liverpool wingbacks are starting to creep their way back into people's plans.
I think that's
frustrating.
The thing. Yeah, I think if, because what, Liverpool got West Brom at home, which you assume is a guaranteed clean sheet. And if you've got Robertson, Robertson's looking like getting assists quite a lot now. So if you have the funds to bring in Robertson for Chilwell, I'm quite tempted to do that, but it might mean my defence is a bit of a mess.
Yeah, Robertson's differential at this stage, really, because so many people...
Yeah, I quite want to get Robertson in.
Also, again, I bang on about the doubles, but Robertson, Man U at home, Burnley at home, all in 1 week. I mean, you'd like to own Robertson that way.
Mm. I've got a question about the... So, you know these five players that I keep talking about, the big five, De Bruyne, Son, Kane, Fernandes and Salah? I think that two of them are sort of stragglers now, Kane and De Bruyne. They're starting to play a bit worse. Like, are you two thinking about having one or both of them, or maybe just ditching both of them and going for someone like Rashford, maybe just freshen up the teams?
If you own Son, I think you, I've said this for quite, I don't think you need both, because Tottenham don't offer enough potency for you to need both, because you're just going to end up, if Tottenham blank like they have done the last few weeks, you just end up losing 20 worth of budget and getting 4 points.
Yeah.
That's not good enough. De Bruyne is staying for Newcastle at home, but I think he could be on the way out.
Yeah,
and Newcastle,
De Bruyne is on thin ice at the moment. I think he needs to do well against Newcastle. But it's the thing, he's still got good fixtures, but like their last two games, City's last two games were against West Brom and Southampton, and he got 4 and 5. So
yeah, but Newcastle look a different level of dreadful at the moment.
Yeah, no, true. I think he needs to start scoring goals that aren't penalties. He needs to start scoring from open play, basically. But like the balls he plays are so good, it's just the players around him aren't good enough to finish the chances he creates. So
yeah, I agree.
His quality.
It's so peculiar. He's not getting any points. He always seems to be in the positions to score as well, not just the assist.
Yeah, I think he's got one or two more game weeks, and if he still doesn't do anything, then he's out, because that will create a lot of funds elsewhere, I think.
No double game week 19 as well. So
yeah, no, it's good.
He's someone, if I didn't own him this week at home to Newcastle, like you don't, I would be fairly worried about that because I think he could go large. We've said that a million times about De Bruyne and he just hasn't, so maybe not.
Yeah.
Aguero's looking like he's getting back fit. Like, Hayes has scored against Arsenal, but I still think he's a bit rubbish. But if they have a striker playing up top for...
Scoring against Arsenal, as we've established, is no barometer of success.
Yeah.
And we were saying on the chat just last night, Hayes, I think we all agree, is a bit wank.
Yeah.
But
I think as long as they've got a striker up top, he'll be within De Bruyne's benefit. So I've got my fingers crossed he grabs a few points at least.
Yeah. But I'm not confident enough to captain him. So, I think, all of you, I will be going for Mo Salah.
I've seen people on Twitter not captaining Salah and I just really don't understand it.
Like, no, Joel, come on. It's obvious. Allardyce is in town.
Got battered 3-0 against Villa as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll see. But I just think it's... You just got to captain him against West Brom. Like, surely, this is going to tear him apart.
Who did they get battered by again? It was someone bad, I swear.
Villa, I said.
Oh, yeah, Villa. I mean, Villa, come on. You shouldn't be losing 3-0 to Villa.
Like, we had about a day with them.
I mean, Fulham lost 3-0 to Villa. But this was before we had Joachim Anderson.
Any excuse to get Fulham in, Sam.
Just wait till we do the team of the season.
All right, so my team, my defence is a mess. Got 2 free transfers though, and I also want to bring Bamford in for Welbeck, so I might just downgrade Chilwell to Dallas or Taylor, and then bring Bamford in for Welbeck, and then just leave Lamperty and Reece James to get a zero, which is not great. But yeah, like Sam, you got to get Bamford in realistically. I mean, I'm sure he'll turn into shit when I bring him in, but that's just
typical. Yeah, I'm quite jealous of you. Quite jealous of your 2 free transfers. Mm. I'm looking like I might have to take a -4. It's a bit annoying.
They always go well. You don't end up crying.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, God, yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of worried it's going to be a bad week for me. I don't know why. I just have a feeling. But
feeling being your track record.
Well, but it's the same as this week. Like, I'm just hoping Salah, Fernandez and De Bruyne do me good. So, but yeah, it's going to be an interesting one for sure.
So interesting. All right, that's enough of part one. Join us for our differentials in part dos.
All Spanish.
All right, so now it's time for everyone's favourite segment, or comes to be the worst bit of our show, the differentials. And quick observation on the differentials. I've noticed that a lot of the players that we've gone for seem to do well lagged about 4 weeks after we suggest them, like Welbeck, Abraham, Martial, Rashford. There was another one as well. I think Rafinha did really well this week. Yeah, Firmino suddenly done well. It just seems to be we pick them on the weeks they always do badly. Like Mahrez.
Yeah, no, I think we're actually coming up with some half decent ideas. We're just saying it at the wrong time.
I think all that says is that like our ideas are good. We're just unlucky as to when they're executed. But clearly, we're choosing the right sort of players.
Yeah, we just got mad foresight, don't we? We just predict it from a couple of weeks in advance, which I think is probably more impressive, if anything.
Not very useful, though. So, for those who haven't listened before, differentials, we have to pick players below 10%, one defender, one midfielder, one attacker, not from the same club, and then whoever gets the most points wins. So, Sam, who are your 3 picks?
So, I've gone with Cancelo, and I just think the way he's playing is just so worth a shout. I've just forgotten who he's playing. He's playing Newcastle at home, yeah. We were just talking about it. They are so dreadful. They're like Arsenal level bad at the moment. And the only reason they got a point out of Fulham at home is because they cheated their way to it because they've got Callum Wilson.
Cancelo, this is a tangent.
I'm sorry. I'm going for Rashford in midfield because the way he's playing just seems to be getting in so many good positions. And I just think he's the English Ronaldo, so watch out for that. And I think you're looking forward to this one, Luke. I'm swallowing my pride and I'm going with Tammy Abraham up front. You can't argue with the goals that he seems to be scoring. He's got Arsenal away, which is just basically the easiest fixture on the calendar. And he can't not start Abraham after the way he played and how badly Werner is playing. He's just got to forget about Werner, give him a rest at least. He just clearly needs. I think he came out in the press this week saying like, oh, he even admitted he's struggling in the Premier League because the defenders are too big or whatever. Like, who even comes out and admits that they're struggling after like a £45 million transfer fee or whatever?
It's bright as day. He's not going to be like, oh yeah, I think I'm playing really, really well. Like, everyone knows he's not playing well. He knows he's playing well. And he's just,
I know what you mean, but how many players can you think of that come out and just say, you know what, I'm struggling?
Well, I think it's fair enough. If he is struggling.
It's fair enough. He is struggling. Like, it's clear for everyone to see, but I'm just so surprised he admitted it. I don't think it shows sort of like a fighter mentality. It shows more of a sort of like, oh, just sympathise with me and this is why I'm doing badly.
I don't know. He'll come good.
Yeah, it's
either way,
it's a relevant point because he's competing with this place with Giroud. He scored against Wolves, scored every time he's played. I think Giroud will start against Arsenal, regardless of Tammy's performance.
Really? I'm not sure I agree. I'm going to stick with Tammy Abraham.
I just got a feeling. I think we should play Giroud. Well, I also think we're going to fucking lose that game as well, because when we don't have Chilwell and James, we have, like, I can't tell you how important they are to Chelsea, like the way they get forward, the balls they put in. Like, I mean, Emerson.
Okay, Louis, should we explore the possibilities? Who's going to open you up? Lacazette? Willock? Pepe? Nicolas Pepe is so bad.
No, I have a bad feeling about this game. Just because Arsenal have been doing so bad for so long, it's probably the game they're going to turn law. Up for some reason.
It's not sod's law. Arsenal are just terrible. It's just not going to happen.
We've lost to some terrible sides over the years. I remember West Ham were losing every single week last year and they came and played us off the park at Stamford Bridge.
We're talking about Arsenal. It's just literally got to the point where, like, pundits, their excuse for them is that Arsenal TV is distracting them. Arsenal TV. That's a joke. You're not going to lose to Arsenal. It doesn't matter. You could put me in defence and Joel, and we can play in Chelsea's defence.
You defend Aubameyang.
He loses the ball by giving the defenders the ball. He doesn't lose the ball because the defenders tackle him.
Werner does the same. Did you see the Arteta comments after the Everton game where he started talking about percentages and?
Oh, that was just embarrassing. Yeah. That was thoroughly. And Jamie Redknapp hated that. He was slating it last night.
Jamie Redknapp was confused by all the numbers, probably.
I want to know.
I didn't understand it, if I'm honest. This 7%, 3%, what does it even mean? Like, how does he get these against probabilities?
What I want to know is when Arsenal's going to become a light green fixture for the top teams.
It's a good question, actually.
They've been demoted to a grey, and it's only about time before. Like, if City play Arsenal in the Prem, that's a light.
It doesn't. You know, the fixture doesn't change based on who's playing. It's just constant for the team.
I swear it does.
No. If you went to Palace at home for every team, it would be light green.
I thought it varied.
I think I'm right.
Yeah, Louis, I think you are right. And the thing is, though, like, it should be like green by now. As a Fulham fan, if we were playing, if I could choose between playing Burnley or Arsenal next week, I'd choose Arsenal.
Yeah, all day of the week.
Exactly. They should be green.
Email FPL. Right, differentials from you, Joel Stanley.
So I quite like mine this week, actually.
Say that every week.
Well, for a few reasons. I think A, they're good for this week, but B, they're good in like long term as well. So in defence, I've gone for Koufal, who I think anyone who's had him since the beginning of the season, that's a great shout. West Ham looking pretty solid. He's looking good going forward. He's still only 4.6. He's got some great fixtures coming up. He's got a great double game week. Still only owned by 3.6. I quite want to get him in, but because of my injuries at the moment, I haven't been able to. I think Koufal. I think he's at home to Brighton.
Wait, you could just bring him in for Lamperty.
I could do. I'm thinking about it. But anyway, Koufal, I think he's good. Slightly roguish one, but I think he could kind of back it, is Rafinha off of Leeds. Even though they got hammered by United, he still managed to get two assists, which I think is pretty good. 5.4, owned by 0.9%. Leeds, as you said about Bamford, he's got good fixtures coming up. If you want like a cheap alternative in midfield, I think he's a half decent shout. And then I've gone for Bobby Firmino up top. He's been banging them in lately. Still only owned by 4.2%. It's a bit of a tricky one if you've got people like Kane and Vardy and Calvert-Lewin. I can't really see anyone taking them out for him. But if you're wanting to kind of bolster your attack at all, Firmino might be a good shout. And yeah, at home to West Brom. So I think I can see him grabbing one this week.
So yeah, I think it makes it easier if you have Kane and Vardy or whatever, because you can actually do a straight swap.
No, you're not, because Firmino plays deep.
With Kane, though, Kane's not getting more than... When was the last time he got a brace?
But Kane is playing after this Wolves game. Kane has Fulham and Leeds at home. I mean, then Villa away.
We keep saying Fulham, but we got one of the best... We haven't conceded a goal from open play since Man City, and we only conceded one goal. We didn't concede a goal from open play against Liverpool, nor against Newcastle. That was just pure cheating.
Is there a way of muting Sam whenever he talks about Fulham?
I know it's everything.
It's just because Fulham have come up, and I'm giving you genuine advice to fancy players. I just wouldn't take Fulham conceding loads of goals for granted, because I don't believe it. It's going to happen very often this season.
I think there's a possibility you might take Kane out for Firmino if you've already got Son, and if you're fed up with doubling up on them, it could be possible to take Kane out for Firmino if you've still got Son in your team. But I wouldn't. You've got to have one of those Spurs players. So I think it's still possible people might bring Firmino in.
This is the thing. One of those Spurs players, I think, is like fine at the moment. Like Louis was saying earlier.
The Firmino thing makes sense for double game week 19, because you might want to double up on Liverpool attackers. And if you were, Mane's too expensive, and then there's no other option really. As for you talked about Koufal and Rafinha, like you were some like visionary genius. Like, I haven't said them both already multiple times. Like, the way you articulate
the way he was like, Rafinha, I think he might be.
Yeah, I think he might do
well. Like, Louis has said it.
Yeah.
When? I
said it
that.
Like 2 weeks ago, mate. He's had the most shots. He had so many chances against constantly. He's
although when Louis suggested that he blanked.
Yeah, that always happens. Well, it happened, Joel. I'll get the clip up. Okay.
he's a good shout, I think.
Thanks, man. My three picks this week are Dallas, who I talked about a while back, and I think Sam belittled me or something, but he scored back-to-back weeks. He's playing out of position. This year's John Lundstrom. Priced around the 4.5 bracket, out of position in a free scoring team. I'm not bringing in Dallas for clean sheets. They're a bonus. I'm bringing in Dallas because he actually is getting shots and is a goal scorer. And that's just great with a defender, because you can never rely. And because he's got Brighton at home and Southampton at home in game week 19, owned by 9.4%. So I've just scraped him in there at 4.7 price. He is a no brainer. Next up, I've gone for more of a wild card option, which is Christian Pulisic. If Pulisic wasn't so brittle, he'd be in my team 100% at 8.2, because he is genuinely world-class. He just happens to always be injured. But if he puts a run of games together, Arsenal away, it could be all right for him, and then Villa at home. I think Pulisic's quality, and I think he's nailed in that team now with the poor form of Werner and the injury of Ziyech. Last up, I think we always go for him because he's got quite low ownership, and I'm never that inspired when I say him, but he's playing Sheffield United away, who are pretty shit, and he is ultimately a good player, so I've gone with Richarlison. So Dallas, Pulisic and Richarlison. Joel, you were looking really angry when I said Pulisic.
Well, two reasons. I think he hasn't done enough so far to prove anything. I think you're calling it quite early. Like, yeah, he plays well when he plays. Like, I don't question that. But I think, like, Grealish is like... how much is Grealish? Grealish is cheaper. Like, if Grealish is a bit cheaper, I feel like you'd probably go with him over Pulisic.
Yeah, but this is differentials. Like, everyone's got Grealish. If you wanted to get ahead of the game, you might think Pulisic.
But who would you bring Pulisic in for? He's at that kind of, like, awkward price tag where...
I think you bring him in... If you bought him in for KDB, if KDB continues to flop, and then you could therefore upgrade say, someone to Robertson. You could get your boy Robbie Firmino in if you really wanted him.
Yeah, and okay, fair. I'll take that back. I think he's still yet to prove himself. So I'm a bit like skeptical, and not prove himself, but he's yet to score this season. Oh no, he has scored, but he's yet to kind of get a consistent run.
The reason I say Pulisic is he's like a properly good player. Like,
when
he plays well, he's like one of the best players in the league, and he's priced at 8.2, and he's playing in a good team. So I just think he will eventually make a mockery of that price if he's fit.
Yeah. I quite fancy him against like Rob Holding and David Luiz.
Also, Joel, you should be taking notes. It's you that needs these differentials.
Yeah, true.
All right, those are differentials for this week. Keep an eagle eye out for them, and we'll see how we get on. And join us next for our team of the season thus far. All right, so in this next section, we're going to go off on a non-fantasy football divergent. But, I mean, it's not a complete divergent because... Is divergent even a word? But,
yeah.
Cool. Because we're doing our team of the season so far, not based on fantasy, but just off generally who we think is playing well. We thought before we did it, we would reach out to the listeners first and get their team based off a shortlist that we created. So, Joel, do you want to run through the team that they ended up creating if we were going for a 4-4-2?
Yeah, so... we did a load of polls earlier today, and I'll just whittle them off pretty quick. Everyone went for Martinez in goal. I think he won pretty. He was most popular by a bit of a way. Left back, Robertson. Centre backs were Zouma and Vestergaard, which I thought was interesting. And Reece James, I think, was clear at right back. Left mid, Son was a clear winner. Bruno and KDB, also pretty unanimous. Again, Salah had like 94% of votes because he's the clear choice at the moment. And then, quite obvious up top was Kane and Calvert-Lewin. So pretty good team that. But yeah, I'm kind of a bit unsure about the formation, but I think 4-4-2 is pretty solid team so far.
I think we want both Kane and DCL in there. So I think we kind of have to go two up front.
Do you think... Who was the left winger again? Sorry, Joel. It was Son, yeah. So do we think that... I think it comes down to, do we think DCL has been better than Grealish? Could we could put Grealish in midfield as a three and then just have Kane up front.
Well, I'm talking like if you're having an actually balanced football team that you would play...
But we're not Joel.
Well, what
it's
we
the team
about?
Of the season. It's a team of the year.
Have you seen Garth Crook's team of the week? He plays like KDB at centre back.
No, but you want a balanced team. You don't want
Not really. It's just a fantasy team. They don't want to be playing against anyone. It's like, would our fantasy teams actually be good? No, because we have four wing backs as our defenders.
No, it's still. I think there's an answer for having Højbjerg in there instead of DCL.
No, I don't think he's been that. He's been good, but
I'm picking like an exciting team. Like, we're not just picking a functional team. Like,
well, I think he makes such a difference to that Spurs team, and I think any team you put him in, he would be the same. So I think
I just think this is
worth a mention.
Sam has got the key question, not you. Sorry, which is Green been better than Kane or DCL, and do we go 4-3-3? And my answer to that is no. So Martinez, I think, should be Mendy, but I'm a Chelsea fan, so I'm probably biased.
I think it should be Pope, if I'm honest. I know it doesn't look good because Burnley haven't been great this year, but just watching his individual performances, the saves that he's had to make, he's never going to keep that many clean sheets the way they've been, but he's almost flawless. He doesn't make any mistakes at all, and definitely should be England's number one. But
I think he's got a mistake in him. In his
really?
When his defenders pass the ball back to him, he looks a bit shoddy with his feet and his delivery to other players on the pitch. That's the only weakness, I think.
The thing is, it's difficult to argue against Martinez, though, really.
I think there's
very... I just think Pope's better.
On Martinez, because they've kept three clean sheets in a row and he was immense against Wolves. but I don't know if he's actually had that many good games. He saved a penalty against Sheffield United on the first day, I think. But I don't know whether people are just getting fancy in their head rather than what actually who's actually been the best goalkeeper, because Mendy has turned Chelsea.
I can't think of any keeper that's had like a standout season so far. Like there've been a lot of good, solid keepers, but there's not like a keeper that springs to mind where you're kind of like, oh, he's made some unbelievable saves. But maybe that's just me. But
I don't think this is a massively interesting position though to go into.
No, I agree. I think Martinez is fair enough to be honest.
Jordan Pickford, and we move on. Right, yes, let's go Martinez. So then we got left back, where the options were Chilwell, Robertson. Who were the other two?
Reguilon and Cresswell. Again, I don't think this is particularly interesting. I just think it's so obviously Robertson. It's just silly to argue against Robertson, in my opinion.
Chilwell gives a tough fight, but I still think Robertson wins.
I feel like with people like Robertson, it's like one of those where because they've been on the scene for quite a while, you like don't appreciate how good they are because you kind of take it for granted when he has been like levels above any of those. But because it's Robertson, we just expect it. So he's definitely the left back for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Centre back, we gave. Do you want to come in on that?
I was just going to say, like, just generally, I feel like you're going to look back on Robertson as one of the best left backs in Premier League history, maybe even in the top 11.
Yeah. Centre-backs, Thiago Silva, Eric Dier, Vestergaard and Zouma. It's great to see Dier got 3% of the vote, which is good to see. I was forced to put him in there. They went Zouma and Vestergaard. I would go Vestergaard and Thiago Silva. But maybe that's just because he played really well yet on Monday.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree as well. I think Zouma's good because of Thiago Silva. I think he brings that kind of like experience and leadership that Zouma's needed since bringing it Chelsea. So I think as long as Silva's there, Zouma will be good. But I still think Zouma's a better defender than... I still think Silva's a better defender than Zouma is.
Yeah, he's only... Silva, West Brom away, he had a nightmare, but since then he's been flawless. So that's the first time we will go different. We'll go Thiago Silva and Vestergaard. Quick word on Vestergaard, Sam.
I just think he's unreal. The new Van Dijk, genuinely, he'll be signed for 70 million and do amazing, I reckon.
Southampton's recruitment is just a different level, really. Like, I mean, silly. Right back, we went for the man Kufal, Carl Walker, Reece James, and James Justin. And that 52% went for Reece James, which I'll agree with, obviously.
I don't agree with this because only 52% went with Reece James. He's just been so far above everyone else. Just unbelievably good player. I'm so excited about him for England. He's just leagues ahead of Alexander-Arnold defensively and in attack. I know that's controversial, but I think he's better going forward than Alexander-Arnold. Easily. I think this is the easiest position.
Yeah, James, no-brainer, 100%.
I think James Justin has been quality. I agree, obviously. I think Justin is class, though. He's definitely second. Now, left mid is an absolute minefield because we've got Grealish, we've got Zaha, who's been immense, we've got Rashford, who is good but hasn't had that great a year. But then the winner, by quite a margin, probably deservedly, definitely deservedly, sadly, is Heung-min Son.
Yeah, I cheekily went on my own Twitter and voted for Rashford because I love him. I think he's so exciting. When he gets on the ball, I just think something's going to happen. I love the way he takes on players. He's in a different league from Sterling in that way. I think Son has had the best season. I just wanted to give some recognition to Rashford. I would go with Son, though, yeah.
This is the thing is, I think Son's been the best of those options, but they've all been really good. It's just they all play in the same position. Like, I would take any of those four in any team, but I think Son has been better than just because his goals and assists and stuff. I think he's been the most consistent out of all of them, I'd say.
I'd love to know who these Zaha people are.
They're all Palace fans, without a doubt. It's like me, it's like this next one where I voted for Mason Mount, but the majority had it, Fernandes and KDB.
Yeah, I think I voted for Mount. I voted for Mount as well, I think.
Oh, we must be in the two votes.
Mount is quality, but he hasn't scored. How many goals? Has he scored a goal this season?
I actually don't know.
Mason Mount scored against West Brom, yeah.
And then, yeah, like, assists-wise, how many assists? I just don't feel like he's done enough on paper to warrant.
He's Mason Mount.
I know he's a brilliant player, don't get me wrong. I just love the way he plays.
Five assists.
I just don't think he's effective enough. Five assists is not bad. It's not bad. But he's got to score more goals. He could be a Lampard.
He could be a Lampard easily.
And he will be. But okay, this is a tangent. Fernandes, no brainer. So good. Just so good. He's literally made that United team from being bang average into an actually really potent outfit. I really rate Fernandes. I think he's quality.
Yeah.
And then the next one's KDB. He's really good, but his team's been a bit shit, as we said earlier. So, Sam, anyone want to argue otherwise? Højbjerg, maybe?
I think Højbjerg's had an unbelievable season, but we're talking about Kevin De Bruyne. So, it's got to be Fernandes and Kevin De Bruyne.
No, but it's this season so far. I don't think De Bruyne's been good enough so far this season.
No, but do you think that, like, he's actually been worse than Højbjerg? I know he's not been to the standard that you think De Bruyne should be at, but based on how they performed this year, you would actually take Højbjerg, the way he's played, over the way De Bruyne has played.
No, true. And also, if you had Kane up top with De Bruyne in behind, they would just, like, kill him.
Stop it.
It's the same Robertson dilemma, isn't it? Where you hold them to higher standards and you just take greatness for granted. So that's what KDB has been immense, but it's just we hold him to higher standards.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll give you KDB. I just think Højbjerg's changed Spurs.
Oh, you just wanted a defensive midfielder to shore up the midfield in this team of the year.
We just need a bit of balance in the team, you know?
Just in case they all came together and played against someone.
Yeah.
Right mid was, we were really struggling to put four options together. So we went Salah, Neto, Ziyech and Mahrez. Salah got 92% of the vote, Mahrez and Ziyech got 0, and Neto got 8%. So,
can I have a word on this? It's obviously Salah, but I was a bit upset because you lot were talking about these four players. Obviously, Salah's got to be there. But, I mean, why isn't Declan Overeem in there? He scored 4 goals this season.
I've managed to mute Sam because I've realised I can actually do that on Zoom, so he's still... All right, so moving on.
I've unmuted myself, but Declan Overeem.
All right, so we've gone Salah. Salah's class. Striker. I think striker's not as... That's a niche reference.
That's a reference from Lewis.
Should we explain this? We should explain this to our listeners. I think it's funny enough.
I don't know if it is. They've heard all Joel right. Mispronounce everything, to be fair.
Yeah, I'll tell them. I can't say anything right.
Joel thought Leonardo Ochoa was pronounced Uchaya. Like, in terms of like the letters that are there as well, like,
well, I said that 6 years ago and I can't believe it's still a reference.
It was literally so sick. That was like 4 years ago.
Now it's lower sixth because I hadn't dropped.
Yeah, it's lower sixth. I think it's 6 years, almost 5-6 years ago. Yeah,
I'm sure the listeners, we're meant to be a fantasy football podcast, we've not mentioned fantasy for about 50 minutes and now we're talking about RS from 6 years ago. So, Kane, Vardy, Calvert-Lewin, Bamford. Does Bamford deserve more recognition than the 7% vote our listeners gave?
Definitely not. Because the thing is, Leeds have created more chances than any other team in the league. And he's got less goals than Vardy, Calvert-Lewin. I'm not sure he's got less goals than Kane. Maybe equal, I'm not sure. But for that reason, no, in my opinion.
I think that's a valid point, actually.
Yep, you shut me up.
Kane's obviously a no-brainer.
I think Calvert-Lewin's a no-brainer. Calvert-Lewin plays in a pretty poor team and scores goals for fun, and now they're in fourth. I think he doesn't get nearly the recognition. And now he's turned into this assistant. If you watch him play, his hold-up plays so good.
Yeah, I agree with that. But he doesn't influence the game in the way that Kane does. Calvert-Lewin's very good in the final third, but the way Kane plays and bringing defence into attack, playing balls out wide, getting the team going forward, finishing long shots in the six-yard box, he's just like the all-round player.
The assists he's got as well, you can't argue against that. I think, in my opinion, DCL's third. I think Vardy's just unreal. And if you're doing Joel's little thing about like making sure that this is a team that could actually be viable, you'd want like Vardy playing off either Kane or Calvert-Lewin, but you wouldn't want Kane and Calvert-Lewin.
What about if we're going pure fancy mode? Why don't we put Harry Kane in centre mid? Because he basically plays there anyway instead of De Bruyne, and then put Calvert-Lewin and Vardy up front.
Yeah, that's actually...
Imagine Kane's dishes to Vardy in behind and then Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, yeah. Like... I actually quite like that. I think that's quite a good shout. You'd have De Bruyne and Bruno as holding midfield, and then Harry Kane attacking Cam. And then Salah, Son, DCL up top or Vardy up top.
It is cheating. It's like putting Edison up front because he's got a good finish on him. Like, Kane's just played up front this season. He just hasn't played in the field.
All right. So, I'm going to drop that idea because Sam doesn't like it. So, we'll just do right now. Joel, you can have the siding vote. I'm saying Calvert-Lewin and Kane. And Sam's saying Vardy and Kane. So, you need to choose between Vardy and Calvert-Lewin. And then we're done. The suspense is killing me.
Yeah, I didn't know you were going to put me on the spot like this.
We were discussing all of it the whole time, so it surely should come into your head before just there.
Yeah, no, well, I thought Calvert-Lewin, but now I'm kind of thinking, I'm kind of leaning towards Vardy.
Vardy's got 11 goals this season.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's Calvert-Lewin.
I know, but it's not like an obvious, like obviously Calvert-Lewin because everyone's got him in their fancy.
Yeah, no, I think Vardy actually. I think you go Vardy.
Sam's just won a shouting match. Six of Vardy's goals in penalties or something ridiculous. Calvert-Lewin hasn't scored a single penalty. They're actual proper goals, not Vardy. Like, just takes penalties. That's all he does, really. How many of Vardy's goals have been penalties this season?
Louis, Joel's spoken.
Yeah, so, you asked me for my opinion and I said it. You can't just then have a go at me.
Sam manipulated the idiot into saying what he wanted him to say.
No, I'm sticking Vardy, sorry, Lee.
I wish I'd said the penalty point earlier because it's so relevant, the fact that Calvert-Lewin doesn't take penalties. Vardy's just stat padded. I could take penalties for Leicester and I'd have 7 goals this season.
He missed a penalty as well against, who was it? He missed one.
Yeah, but he scored one that game as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah, no, true. But yeah, anyway, Kane, Vardy up top. That's final.
So our final team is identical to the listeners, but we've gone for Thiago Silva over Kurt Zouma. And we've gone Vardy over DCL, but with a heavy heart. Is that true?
Yeah.
Everything else
not
the same.
With a heavy heart, but we agree with the listener, with the people on Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah, we do, which is good. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that non-FPL related segment. We'll finish off with a little fun-ish game / question. All right, so for this last part, because we didn't give much fantasy-related advice in the last segment, we're going to talk about which Premier League players would be best to have around for Christmas dinner, because that should help with your planning for doubles and blank game weeks. The way we do this format is that we have two extremities, Salah and Nyland, Salah being the best, the 12-point whatever, Nyland being the worst. Sam, who is your Salah? Who would you most like to have at the store?
I got a really good one. I was really excited about sharing this because I thought it was really good. Benjamin Mendy. He is hilarious.
I think he
broke his leg out for 8 months and he's getting surgery in Barcelona, like laughing on like all or nothing Manchester City, like laughing on the phone, like he's like out for 8 months and he's still joking.
He'd be quite good value, to be fair.
He'd be great value. I'd love it.
Okay. Joel, who's your Nyland? Who'd be the most disruptive?
I don't know. Someone like Andy Carroll.
I reckon he'd be a good lad.
Do you think?
He might be a bit much.
Well, it's the thing I was thinking. I was like, if I'm having Christmas dinner, I was thinking of like doing it, like having it with my family. So it'd be like my mum and dad. And imagine
Andy Carroll's going to hit on your mum, isn't it?
I hope not.
I was just going to go Mason Mount for Christmas dinner because I love him and I reckon he'd be good fun, you know, game.
I've got someone, it's the thing, because I've only because I thought about this of like it being like a family Christmas dinner, Heung-Min Son.
I was thinking Son as well. That's a
great shout.
He's so polite. He would just be so kind of like so nice and like he would laugh and he'd just be really sweet and happy and yeah, I think he would really impress the parents, I think.
Yeah.
So I think he would be a good, he'd be a safe option, I think.
But. What about the combination of Greenwood and Foden? So liven up Christmas.
Make sure my sister's not around.
If you want to, okay, that's nice. If you want to impress your parents, you bring in Marcus Rashford as well.
You know what I think is a good general basis for Salah? I'm just trying to think, like, an absolute legend in the Premier League, you just love to pick their brains. Maybe like Aguero.
He's always lonely as well. Have you seen All or Nothing Manchester? Yeah, I'd love to have him around me.
But he seems like good, like a nice bloke as well.
Yeah, I would. To be fair, I'd have like, I think like as a Chelsea fan, you'd have like Ben Chilwell, Tammy Abraham. They'd be quite jokes. Just like they'd be look like they're like decent guys.
I think they're like mid-range. Your seven.
Yeah, they're your
7.1.
Yeah.
Aspilicueta's probably got a good story.
Like Chelsea, you'd kind of get them in your team.
Oh, this is one that Sam won't agree with, but I'd like I'd like Gary Cahill around for dinner as well. I think one, he'd be really polite, and he'll have stories from winning the Champions League. He'll have stories from winning multiple things for Chelsea. Gary Cahill, get him around.
I think Milner would just be an upgrade on that. Funnier, one more. Yeah.
Is Milner funny?
Yeah, he's hilarious. I follow him on Instagram. It's great, great value.
You know who I wouldn't like around? Jordan Henderson.
I like Henderson.
Not bearable.
Yeah, I agree. Sunderland chat, his early days at Sunderland.
Yeah.
I don't care.
He'd just be so up himself.
If you're allowed managers, which is more, I think Mourinho would be one. Your parents would love him. Great stories, would be so much fun. Frank Lampard as well, unbelievable.
Yeah. Going back to any Arsenal player, I would want nowhere near my Christmas dinner. Can you imagine like being sat next to like Pepe, having to like just be like, oh my god,
El Nene.
Rob Holden.
We say this like if we didn't see them in real life, we wouldn't be completely starstruck and like asking for a selfie.
To be fair, Joel, like you've got a bit of a haircut like Hector Bellerin. Do you like?
Yeah, no, Hector Bellerin's quite an interesting guy actually. He's kind of like he's kind of interested in like the environment stuff and fashion and all that kind of stuff. I think he'd be an interesting guy.
I think he'd be interesting.
David Luiz quite jokes.
Yeah, I'd like David Luiz.
Yeah. Good shout. Good shout.
So we're just retracting on what we just said about Arsenal. Okay, last of all, I actually want a 4.5 current player in the Premier League, the person you would least like around the dinner table. Because I can't really think of it. I think I'd quite
least.
Richarlison.
Apparently he's a nice bloke. Apparently he's actually a really nice. He doesn't look like a nice bloke, but apparently he is.
He looks absolutely horrid on the pitch. He just looks like a piece of work.
But apparently he spends all his money on his family and like sends it home and like buys and houses and all this stuff.
Right, I take that back.
I just quite like the idea that footballers have other people in mind, given how much they earn and stuff.
Like Mane. Mane's great for that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for listening. Before we go, I'm going to alert you to a competition. We're all captioning Mo Salah because we think he's going to go big. And if he does go big, you could be in with a chance of winning a football shirt of your choice. Because if he gets over 10 points and you retweet and like our competition on our Twitter, Midnight FPL, you can win yourself a free shirt. We'll be drawing that out on Sunday if he does that. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back probably sooner than we'd like to be with the fixture congestion. With another podcast for you guys. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.